Okay, we have here a very, very obvious shmooze I just gave. You know, if you read the Maor Makom, you probably got the shmooze. Luckily, it's a long Maor Makom, so guys probably didn't get to the end, so, okay, they didn't get the shmooze yet. But I think it's a very, very powerful shmooze. What happens? We have in the Torah that after the... You have a number of makas. You have the kinim. So Paro is finally at some point. Moshe goes and tells Paro that there's going to be a arov. So Paro is already agreeable that Bnei Yisrael should go and do the karbanos. But he wants that they should do it in Mitzrayim. Why in Mitzrayim? Because obviously Paro's afraid that they're going to run away. In other words, if they do it in Mitzrayim, so fine, everyone's happy. Moshe is claiming that Bnei Yisrael want to serve Hashem. Paro's nervous that Bnei Yisrael are going to run away, he's going to lose his slaves. So we have a simple compromise. You can serve Hashem in Mitzrayim. So Moshe says that won't work. Why? Ki zovas Mitzrayim nizbach l'Hashem elokeinu. We're going to be sacrificed the to'eva, the thing that's disgusting to Mitzrayim. And if we makriv that, hey, nizbach es tovas Mitzrayim neinayim, if we're makriv the to'eva of Mitzrayim in front of them, v'lo yislekunu, and they will not stone us. It's like the way he learns, it's like a question, exclamation, v'lo yislekunu, wouldn't it be they would stone us? Okay. So there's two, what does this mean, tovas Mitzrayim? Why are these animals, Tovat Mitzrayim? So Rashi learns, he quotes this from Rav Yeshua, I know that what does it mean? It means they're Avodah Zarah. So why are you calling it Toeva? It's not Avodah, it's something they admire. So Moshe is coining a word, Moshe really said it, the God of Mitzrayim. But the Torah uses a negative word to describe the God of Mitzrayim, their Avodah Zarah. Moshe came because, in other words, when he wrote the Torah, didn't know Avodah Zarah. Kilo Omar to Paro, when he said to Paro, he didn't say they're going to just the To'eva Mitzrayim. He said the God of Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim worshipped the animals. So that's their pshat. That it was a god of the Avodah of the Mitzrayim. Moshe is saying we can't bring the Korbanos in Mitzrayim because these are the Mitzrayim's gods. And obviously, if the Mitzrayim would see us shechting their god, they would go crazy. They would kill us. Okay, so he doesn't like that. He has some questions on it. Okay, so I'm up to reading from the first line, about four lines down. With a fi daiti, in my opinion, different shot. Ki anshe Mitzrayim b'mei Moshe. The Egyptians in the time of Moshe hayadas anshe. I don't know what that is. They say in the translations in India. Okay. Sheheim yoitzer mechatzi odom. They are more than half the world. Hindus, whatever. V'kudam heim b'nei ches. They come from ches. V'heinam oichlam basra alayom. They don't eat meat even today. V'gam dam v'cheda v'dagu beitzim. They don't even eat even eggs. Anything that comes from an animal, they won't eat. And they think it's disgusting. Someone eats them, they look at him like he's the biggest lowlife. And it's a disgusting job to be a shepherd. Just like we find by Mitzrayim. In India, they won't let anyone in their country eat meat. And if an Indian would come into a different country, he'd run away because he'd be from a place where they eat meat. Even if a person who eats meat touch a food, that really just makes it disgusting. The Kedav and his pots, Tmeyim Beinem, that they couldn't eat together with the together. I'll call it a val al lechem. Same, we find this. They wouldn't let him touch the food. They wouldn't let him touch the food. He's a disgusting prince. No, probably he wasn't, you know, I don't think he was eating meat at that time. They probably weren't giving it to him, but he was, you know, the fact that he wasn't ivri and he once ate meat made him disgusting, and therefore he would contaminate the food. They say the Egyptians were the type of people, so why did they have animals? So he says, because even they have animals, horses to ride, etc., etc., etc. Okay. So what's his shot? His shot is that the Egyptians, he's saying, they felt that anyone who eats meat is an disgusting thing. So what's Shan the Pasuk, according to the Evan Ezra, is that Moshe is saying, how can we go ahead and bring korbanos to Hashem of animals of Seh? The Mitzrayim will see us doing immaculate animals. That's disgusting. That's how you worship your God? You take this disgusting thing, an animal, a dirty, filthy animal, and you sacrifice it to your God. That's so immoral. That's such an insult to God. And the end of the pasuk is that what would happen? And they would, the Mitzrayim would go and kill us. How could you do such a thing? It's so immoral. So I have a simple question. So why couldn't, Paro obviously is not ready to send out Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Moshe, it seems at this point, is agreeable to this suggestion, except he says that we can't because the Egyptians won't let us. So Paro should give a ruling. Paro was a pretty absolute monarch. He should announce a ruling that the Egyptians should allow the Jews one day to sacrifice their animals to Hashem, right? But apparently pshat is it wouldn't work. If Paro can make all the rules he wants, if the Egyptians would see that the Jews are being mocked with animals to God, they would just riot. Paro said, let them do it. I can't. Right? So it's a tremendous to hear in Keichas and Nefesh. The Maisa, we believe there is nothing immoral, nothing logically immoral, nothing really immoral in bringing korbanos. If anything, it's a very high moral thing. It's a tremendous mitzvah. It's a kedusha. The Egyptians got some mishigas in their head, the Indians, whatever, that an animal is a disgusting thing, and a person who eats animals are yuch, and to be makriv an animal is disgusting, right? And therefore, they can't even help themselves. They would impulsively, Paro could tell them not to, whatever. It's so immoral. Now, what do they care about God altogether? They don't even believe in Hashem, or I don't know if they believe. But if they would see the Jews being makriv korbanos to God, to a God that they don't even believe in necessarily, that's so immoral that they would get so outraged that they would murder, which is, of course, that's moral, right? Now, these are the same exact Egyptians that, so to speak, a week ago, Paro went in and told them to go ahead and kill all the babies, and that they had no problem with. Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. So Paro tells them to kill all the babies, find the newborn babies, and kill them all, and all the people, yeah, no one, any complaints. That's very, very moral. Now we're practicing birth control. I don't know, whatever. That's very moral. Go ahead and kill all the babies. But to see someone else who has a belief that sacrificing an animal is okay and is a mitzvah, and just to see it would get them so morally outraged that they cannot even help themselves. They would go ahead and kill them. Right? Which means, basically, it means here, the thing that's really immoral, they ready, to do. They don't care about murdering babies, fine. Torturing people, fine. Enslaving thousands of people, fine. Right? Memtesh Shari Tuma, fine. Yeah? The things that are really to get upset about, that immoral, they're fine with. Something which is a mitzvah, they get into their crazy head that it's immoral, and they go ahead and they'll kill you if they see you do it. which is a very scary shmooze, because what it basically means that people determine their sense of morality. It's not pshat that the Egyptians were immoral people. You say the Egyptians were such immoral people, they had no morals. They had morals. If you would try and be makriv an animal to God, they would kill you. They had such morals. They had such indignation. They're very moral people. They just got crazy morals, right? That's what's even scarier. Person goes ahead. We can understand a person. You say the Germans had no morals. They're a bunch of monsters. They're a bunch, which is maybe true. It is true. Whatever. But it's even worse. You tell me that no, that when it comes to something else, they all of a sudden they got, you know, they. So where do you get your morals? It comes out that the morals make no sense. Person, the things that logic, common sense, how much does it take any common sense to know that it's immoral to kill a baby? Nothing. But to go ahead and that it's immoral to sacrifice an animal to God, which we don't know even why it's immoral, that'll go crazy. So the thing is, it's ma'isim b'cholyo. We find this. You find this people that, you know, the Palestinians killing people, that's moral. But yet animal rights, that's immoral. You know, all kinds of crazy. The same person. The things that we would be to us is great mitzvahs, they think is immoral. And they, right? I remember once, you know, my wife, when she just would have just, we were still in Kodo. We didn't even have such a big family. Someone stopped her on the street to give her a whole speech of morality because she's having too many children. You know? People go ahead and have this. They can become in society. You get tuned in, right? It's moral. You know, you want to have a riot because you're protesting. You know, you don't like Trump. That's moral. You know, you break down people's doors and burn their houses. You know, it's all moral. But you know, he does. He's not moral. But at the pachet is whether we are sometimes the same. The shaila is: are all just like you see here, that people can go ahead based on society, something that's the most common sense tells you it's immoral, and you think it's fine, and something which, fakir, there's really nothing immoral about it. And you get so outraged because in this society, we don't eat animals. That's our minig. So that's our minig, then it becomes so immoral. So the shaila is, are we the same thing? I remember we went to Rav Huttner, Rav Huttner said, basically that's what he said. He said, there are so many American hashkafas that are not necessarily Torahdik that they become part of our moral compass. Imagine if you would tell someone that, you know, I think democracy, maybe we should have a literacy test before people vote. The guy, they'll kill you. What? You mean you won't let all the people that are not illiterate vote? Yeah, I think it's a very good idea. You know, why should they vote? They don't know what they're voting for. What's the point of a guy voting and doesn't even know what the issues are? They would burn you. They would mamish burn you. I'd shoot you, you know. You know, no person, anyone ever would suggest such a thing. You'd be thrown, be the laughing stock of the country, right? Because you know, it's a democracy. Me, Omar, the democracy is moral. America, right? Women's rights, America, moral. You know, the rights, all these, the freedom, all the freedoms are that's what, you know, we're brought up with. I remember Rav Huttner gave two examples. That one example is a little bit not so clear. I'll say both examples. He said when he came to America in the, I don't know, it was the 1920s, 1930s, he says a minig at a wedding was that they had the procession, so besides the chas and the kawa walking down, the first person who walked down was the Masada Kedushin. And people were very makbid. The Masada Kedushin should walk down. He came in and he, in his yeshiva, he stopped the minig. And he said, by his weddings that he had, we don't have such a minig anymore. Why? He says, so people say got very upset with him. He says, it's kavod haTorah. You know, it's a mitzvah gedayra. So he said, he told them, it's not kavod haTorah, it's kavod for the galach. Why? Because it says, in a Christian marriage, the priest says that the power bestowed upon me, whatever, I don't know, the nusach, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. He says, by a Jewish marriage, the rabbi does absolutely nothing. You can get married without a rabbi. There's a takana, drabbanan, you should have a rabbi there to be as a rava machsher, just to make sure everything's done right. But if lo yitzur, a person gives a girl a ring with two edim and there's no rabbi, you're married. The rabbi does nothing halachically. Even the bracha, he's just being mitzi, the chassan, in case the chassan doesn't know ivra. They're just being mitzi, him and a bracha. Anyone can do that, you know. Just saying so the rabbi is just doing absolutely nothing. So he says, so where does this minute come that the rabbi has to march down? He says, because by the goyim, the priest is the one that performs the wedding. So therefore, he's the star of the show. So we view a marriage by the Jews, the way the goyim view a marriage. It's inside the priest. The priest is the star of the show. So the rabbi is the star of the show. Says the emes is, the rabbi does nothing. So we take the goyisha picture of marriage, of a marriage ceremony, that the priest is performing. He's making the ceremony. And we automatically, without realizing it, we superimpose it on a religious Jewish ceremony. Not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but just an example he was giving, how we just take things that are in society and we automatically imbibe it in our own being without realizing that it's not based in Torah. The other example he gave, which is maybe a little bit more hitting home, is he talked about dress. He says, you go ahead and you see a chassid. The chassid has a baldy haircut. He's wearing, I don't know, white socks. And what's wrong with him? A walking chidol Hashem. You know, I'm so proud of my big chop. You know, he talked about it. You know, he said, you know, your nice chop and you're clean shaven. Then the minig was everyone had clean shaven faces. So he talked about our Yankee Doodle faces. I think that was what his expression was. You go ahead and you're all clean shaven and you're so proud of yourself. Oh, you look so handsome. And then you look at this chassid and you say, what's wrong with him? You know, a beard and payas and a baldy haircut. Ooh, ooh. He says, who said? Who said that what you're wearing, oh, this is nice. This is high, you know. Well, this is nice. You tie a piece of cloth around your neck and you tie a knot. Oh, this is hair. Now I'm in style. Beautiful. It just, all it is you're just picking up from Mishigas of society. And without realizing it, you're convincing yourself that this is correct, and anyone that does different is crazy. So the Hasidim are crazy. And this guy, they're crazy. Oh, what I do is great. Right? So he says, it's in so many things. It's in our hashkafas, it's in our taste. It's things, he says, the person has to go ahead and stop and almost take every single thing, every hashkafa he has, every belief he has, and where does it come from? Is it based on, is it really true, or is it just something they taught me in, there's a halacha, goy sheshavas chayim misa. So din, right? One of the things, you go to school, one of the things they teach you, one of the great things of America is the five-day week. No, it's against halacha. It's not supposed to have a five-day week. Because at least they'd be working, they'd be accomplishing something. You know, if a person is doing ruchnias, okay, so you have a day off, a day of kedusha. But by the goyim that they're not doing kedusha, they're not learning, they're not doing Torah. So who says the world is good? They have days off that they can go ahead and party, right? Goy sheshav as pashtus. It's different from shatim, but that's pashtim shat, it's an avera. At least accomplish something with your life. So at least you work, okay, you're keeping the world going. Yashikaya, it's time to have a day off Sunday so you can get drunk. That's no good. But we're taught, wow, five-day week, that was such an amazing thing. You know, who said it was such an amazing thing? There's so many concept that we're just ingrained in our brain that this is Yashris and this is Torah, this is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and these are all Chayk v'lo Yavur, that these are, everything is necessarily right, and it could be. Some of them might be right, but some of them might not be right. And it could be things that are just, we're caught up because of us in society. So that's what, again, you see here. Here you have the Mitzrayim. It's not pshat that the Mitzrayim were immoral. When it came to go ahead, if they would see a person sacrifice an animal to God, they would have such moral outrage, they would kill the guy. Because they're so moral. But killing babies is nothing wrong. That's moral. Because when a person can go ahead and we can get our sense of morality when we come from society instead of Torah, then we can go ahead and get all kinds of corrupt morals.